Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Big Fight Weekend Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is brought to you by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you in part by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in the Best Ball Mania 2 and a chance to win $1 million. And we're also brought to you in part by the SGPN app. Just enter SGPN in the App Store or the Google Play Store to download it today.
The countdown is on to fight time. This is Big Fight Weekend. Now, here is your host, TJ Reeves.
Yes, ring the bell on what should be a very entertaining fight weekend in terms of the 154-pound undisputed championship. All four world title belts are on the line. Jermell Charlo, Brian Castaño, scheduled 12-rounder. San Antone, the Alamo City, the Riverwalk. They're back in San Antonio at the home of the Spurs, the AT&T Center, for that huge showdown Saturday night, Showtime Boxing, PBC. We're looking forward to talking lots about it right here on this very program. I am the somewhat competent, somewhat capable, somewhat rested host of the program. I have enlisted great help. Momentarily, you will hear from senior writer BigFightWeekend.com, Mr. Marquise Johns, shadow boxing over in the red corner. In the blue corner, also joining me shortly from NewYorkFights.com, going to be great to welcome back Abe Gonzalez, Abraham Abe Gonzalez. He's Abe to us. Well, at least we are being presumptuous that he's Abe to us. Abe is back here on the podcast and ready to impart some wisdom about this Charlo Castaño fight. We're going to talk Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder mess, first of all, before we get to the fight this weekend with Marquise and with Abe momentarily. Let me remind you that however you found this podcast, via a social media link, if you found us through the Sports Gambling Podcast, their network of shows, or sportsgamblingpodcast.com, what do you need to do? Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe. Big Fight Weekend automatically dings on your device, usually Friday morning in the preview mode. If you are subscribed, you don't have to wait for any of the other social media links or any of that stuff. You get us automatically if you subscribe. And again, if the fights are big enough, if the news is big enough, we will come back off the weekend, recap podcast, etc. If you are subscribed, the podcast automatically shows up on your device. You'll get the ding, you'll get the notification. But again, typically we're here Friday mornings, headed into Friday night and the weekend, previewing the fights. All right, I have done all I can do to promote. Let's bring them in. Let's say, first of all, hello to Marquise Johns, fresh off of trying to catch home run balls in the home run derby on Monday night in Denver in the outfield. Didn't I see you with a glove trying to track down like a Shohei Ohtani or a Pete Alonso home run out in Denver? Weak Sauce Radio, how you doing?
Pretty good, TJ, and thank goodness the All-Star weekend is over, because if not, Pete Alonso would still be hitting home runs in the home run derby. That guy was unconscious on Monday. Dear Lord.
So you were not, you want to confirm, you were not out there in the outfield with all of those kids and other people trying to catch outs instead of home runs, right? That was not you. I did not correctly see you.
No, if I want to get trampled by kids in the outfield, I'll just go to your neighborhood Little League Park and I'll go from there. There's no chance of getting out there.
So he's in the Mile High City. He's ready to talk some boxing. And here he is. I love the insight from NewYorkFights.com. Abraham Gonzalez back with us. I don't know if he was a power hitter, left-handed, right-handed, switch-hitting power hitter or not back in the day. But Abe is aboard on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. How you feeling, sir?
Gentlemen, how you doing? thank you for having me back once again. Love doing this, man. Appreciate it.
All right. So we've got lots to mix up and get to. I promised Jermell Charlo, Brian Castaño is going to be a big topic. It's the main reason why we've got Abe on. Abe's got an interesting theory, too, that if Charlo goes undisputed, who his biggest opponent of 2022 might end up being. He's been saying that to us before and is still sticking to it. So stand by, lots on that. We cannot begin this podcast without talking about the latest in the mess with Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, and the postponement of the fight scheduled for next weekend, originally now July 24th. It has now been confirmed and rescheduled for October 9th since last we were up on the podcast. All right, we wrote about this as the podcast is being released, that they've officially announced the reschedule. But here's the thing. Tyson Fury is out in public midweek in Las Vegas without a mask on. Allegedly supposed to be quarantining with the COVID-19 virus, and there he is out in public. So I have some things to say, but guests first. Marquise, you and then Abe. Marquise, your reaction to what is only fueling speculation that there was more going on than him just being COVID-19 positive with this fight getting moved. Go ahead, Marquise.
It's got to be, TJ, because if he's outside, you know, doing headshots for a COVID Chevrolet or wherever the hell that dealership is in Las Vegas, and other random shenanigans, it makes you wonder a little bit, guys. He didn't want this fight to begin with, I'm convinced. And more and more, they keep pushing it back. It's being pushed back now to October. I just think we're just delaying the inevitable here, guys, where this is one of those things where it's like, hey, if we set it and forget it, like those Ronco knives and stuff, then maybe it'll just go away. But unfortunately, this is the heavyweight division in boxing, guys. So we're going to have to come up with something real quick and a little more responsible than what's been going on with all this. And the whole process of this whole thing has just been bizarre, where it's like we haven't heard anything from Fury. We got generic press release statements. We've heard the cancellation first. We heard the cancellation through all 15 people who saw the Manny Pacquiao press conference this past weekend. I mean, what are we doing here, guys? It's a mess.
Abe, all right, speak your piece here because, again, we haven't heard from you on the podcast about this. And there was Fury seemingly fine the week before the fight out in public. What do you make of the mess and the postponement?
It's interesting, right? And I saw some guys that are some really heavy ticket buyers when it comes to these events, and they were posting, you know, maps of the venue showing a lot of empty seats. Yeah. I mean, a lot of empty seats. People weren't really buying tickets like that. So you have that. Then you have the fact that Tyson Fury kind of dances to the beat of his own drum. If he's not feeling it, then he's not feeling it. And everyone else just has to, you know, kind of go along with what he's doing. And he might just not been feeling it. And maybe he's got other stuff. You know, SummerSlam is happening in August. So we may see Tyson Fury in SummerSlam in August. I would not be surprised at that, especially since it's going to be in Vegas. So,
yeah, but here's where I come down. And I came down hard last week, and I'm doubling down on this. This is idiot Hall of Fame stuff. It was irresponsible in the first place for him to not be vaccinated. Okay, if you're not going to be vaccinated, then you got to be testing the people around you so this doesn't happen. But you're only, again, to use the phrase, fueling speculation that there were other motives, lack of ticket sales, or maybe he wasn't really in good shape, wasn't really focused, and realized, I have a really good chance of losing. But all of that is not completely up to you to just sabotage the July 24th date without any repercussions here. What I said last week still stands. The guy is a clown. And if what Marquise is hinting at is that the clown has no intention of even fighting in October, then maybe we ought to save the trouble and go ahead and strip him of the belt and let Deontay Wilder fight somebody else and let Tyson Fury figure out if it's going to be another year or two, like before with Klitschko, et cetera, et cetera. Thoughts, boys, Marquise, thoughts on that?
Yeah, TJ, it's one of those things where at some point the sanctioning body is going to actually have to do some work around here. I mean, even the WBA told Manny Pacquiao no. So at some point, Marcio and the fine folks at the WBC, when they're not making Bridgerweight interim titles, has to step in this division and do some work here. And it's really interesting, guys, with this whole thing shaking down like this, where it's like we've been hearing for years, you know, the return of the heavyweight division, everything's coming back, all of this. And we still only have Anthony Joshua and Kubat pull up the show for it, guys. It's like, what are we doing here? Okay, maybe if you feel frisky, because Gail Falkenfall yelled at me about this the other day. Okay, we throw in Angela Louise and Gary Lowe if you feel frisky enough. But at the end of the day, that's two fights and there's 500 weights. We need more than this.
Not only that, but, you know, we're talking about, you know, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, right? Like, that's the mega fight that we want to see. Uh-huh. But the way this is going, we're not going to see that anytime soon. And to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if between now and October, there's a injury that happens. And I use them air quotes that there's an injury and they push this fight even further back. I'm not so sure that it happens in October.
But I think, I mean, at this point, you got to protect Deontay Wilder, because the judge, the arbitrator already enforced all of this. And if Tyson Fury doesn't have interest in fighting him again, just strip him. You're no longer the heavyweight champion of anything. Lineal, nuclear, you know, pay $19.95 for the Ginsu steak knives like Marquise. Put out there, and Deontay Wilder is going to fight somebody else, whether it's Dillian White or whomever, and that's going to be the WBC heavyweight championship fight again, because you're being unfair to him at this point for how long this has gone on. So in any event, the last chapters are not written here. It is interesting, because in talking with a couple of people that Marquise and I have become acquainted with in and around and doing this, talking to Vegas people, they were concerned that the lack of Brits being able to fly in July with the whole no-fly thing and the COVID-19 and the travel ban was affecting some of the ticket sales and the interest. And that was another possible reason why this suddenly has a COVID problem and can't come off. But I don't know that that's going to be any better in October. Who can predict the future right now on the travel ban and how many of them can come this way? So I don't know. All right, so one more time around the room, just so that we have fun and get on the record in July. Marquise, Fury Wilder 3, happening or not happening in October, prediction?
Not at all, TJ. Once we find out Fury's on this plane back to England at some point next week, I don't think he's coming back the rest of the year, guys, because they're not going to be – the way things are shaking down, I just don't see it happening.
Abe, prediction?
I'm going to say -500 that it does not happen.
Wow. You guys, man, you're ruining like my evening here that I wanted this fight. And am I going to get Deontay Wilder, Dillian White instead eventually at the end of the rainbow here, like in January or February? You got to be kidding me.
No, we're going to get I'm convinced, honestly, TJ, that the WBC is on a mission to troll Dillian White for as long as he's in the rankings. I'm convinced that we're going to
somebody else.
I'm thinking, yeah, we're getting somebody else. I'm thinking we're getting the great Charles Martin or Oscar Rivas or whatever is in the ranking list at this point. It's not what we want, but it's going to be whatever it is.
Okay, so enough on that subject. Let's get to the main course, which is the Showtime PBC main event, undisputed four-belt world welterweight, world junior middleweight championship fight, 154 pounds. With Jermell Charlo defending his three titles against WBO champion Brian Castaño. Undisputed title. We love these. We got one of these with Josh Taylor beating Jose Ramirez back about 60 days ago in Las Vegas for the junior welterweight four belts and the undisputed championship. Now we have it this weekend. Abe, to you first as our guest. This is the biggest fight for the remainder of the month, anywhere on this continent, the UK or whatever. How excited are you? And what do you think about this as we head to the weekend?
I absolutely love this fight. This is an undisputed crown. I don't understand why everyone is not as excited and as enthusiastic as us three are. This is a huge fight. We're talking about undisputed junior middleweight title fight. You have Jermell Charlo, you know, that has the Ring Magazine and the three belts. And then you got Castaño, who has the WBO. This is, styles make fights. Castaño is built like a tank. He's short, but stocky. Jermell Charlo, you know, he's going to come in, you know, head hunting. And it's just, the styles make fights. They're made for each other. It's going to be bombs away. I just love this fight, but, you know, we can get into it more in a little bit.
Yeah, and sure, we can get into it with you right now. Marquise and I are going to spend a lot of time on it as we go along, and we want more of your analysis here right away. Let's just come at it from the tactical, the strategic. We know Jermell Charlo, big puncher. We know Brian Castaño, very dominant with volume punching, beating Patrick Teixeira and taking the WBO belt from him the last time out. Abe, what do you believe tactically, strategically, this fight will come down to, a key or two?
For Castaño, it's going to be important that he pushes back Chermel Charlo. You know, it's real physical with him, is in his chest, is pounding the body, is smart with how he positions himself when he is about to receive the punches. If he can do that, I think that Chermel Charlo will have a hard time fighting backwards, and won't, you know, won't be as effective as he normally is. You know, with Chermel Charlo, he cannot do what he did with the first Harrison fight, Tony Harrison fight, and just headhunt. One thing I mentioned to him, and you know, he after the second fight, and Chermel Charlo kind of, you know, he didn't like that I brought it up, but I mentioned to him on the post fight that he stood away from hitting the body on Tony Harrison on the first fight, which costed him the fight. On the second fight, if you watch it, he's specifically focused on that body punch, on those body punches. And even Tony Harrison told me, hey, you know, when he hit me with that first body punch, I was like, ouch, that really hurt. And he told me that specifically. So because he made that switch, he was able to land those big bombs to the head later on, and he was able to capture the title again. Now, with Castaño, he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to break down Castaño. Castaño's built like a tank. I don't think that just going to the head is going to be the way he wins this fight. I don't think he's going to win by knockout either. I think that this fight goes 12 rounds.
Interesting.
Chermel Charlo wins, but it's going to be tough. I think Castaño is going to be in his chest all night, and he's going to force the action. It's going to be interesting to see if Chermel Charlo can fight going backwards or reposition himself to where he's in the best place to land those big bombs.
That's the voice of Abe Gonzalez, Abraham Gonzalez. You find him on social media at AbeG718. AbeG718 on Twitter. You also find him at NewYorkFights.com, NYFights.com. Michael Woods' site, he and Woodsy, and all the other writers that are there that chop it up. We love his insight. Marquise, what do you make? I know you and I are going to talk much more about strategy and our predictions, but what do you make there of Abe's point that Charlo to the body is one thing to watch, not just early, but as this fight wears on? Is he trying it? Is he sticking with it? How big of a key do you think that is, Marquise?
No, Bert, TJ, that is the key, and Abe's right on this. I'm going to point you guys to the last fight Chermel had against Gelson Rosario. That body shot to end that fight is still one of the wickedest things I've ever seen. And thankfully, Rosario's okay, I think. I mean, he hasn't recovered recently from it after facing Lubin either. But, man, it's one of those shots where if it's a dedicated attack to the body, as Abe mentioned. I also don't think this fight goes the distance, however, though. I think this fight, one way or another, I think Chermel runs into one and he catches Castaño with something, and this is ending over like somewhere like the 6th or 7th, 8th round personally.
Marquise on the record already that he thinks it will be a KO. We'll talk more about that, he and I, a little later on here in the podcast on the prediction part of it, and we'll look at the odds, etc., for our buddies at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Couple more for Abe here on this. You have had the belief, you have shared with us, that if Chermel Charlo gets to undisputed status, and if Terrence Crawford becomes a free agent, which it appears that he is about to be, he will have one more fight, it looks like, for top rank by October or in October, and then his deal is up. You have been playing the trumpet for Crawford moves up to 154 and fights Chermel Charlo. And we bow to you if that is, in fact, what is going to transpire. But this is a big step in that. If Chermel wins this and has all the belts, that is a massively interesting fight. And how much more do you believe now, Abe, that that can become a reality in 2022?
Man, I really believe that because he's the WBO champ. And so what happens is if you're the WBO champ and you want to go up to 154, you get the first crack. And so if he truly wants that fight and wants that undisputed, being undisputed twice in two different weight classes, that's a big deal. That's a bigger accomplishment than fighting Spence, to be honest with you. And so I think that that is there for him. However, with this Bob Arum pushing the narrative of him going to overseas and fighting Josh Taylor in the spring, that might end up derailing those plans. I still believe, though, that that happens. If not, then we get Crawford versus Spence at 154 sometime in 2022.
Interesting. And Spence obviously has the large one with Pacquiao that is coming here. And who knows if he and Crawford are ever going to fight or not at welterweight or otherwise. And again, for Jermell Charlo, the argument would be who else is there at 154? There's a lot of talk that he might move up. Marquise, the way that I will put it to you, Abe's had that theory out there. Do you believe that Charlo waits around? Crawford, willing to make a deal with PBC, would be more interested in making that fight with Jermell Charlo as undisputed champion? I mean, I know we're giving him the four belt win Saturday night already, but under that assumption, do you believe that this is really realistic here, Crawford and Jermell Charlo at 154, or is it more likely that Jermell looks to move up and Jermall moves up from middleweight trying to chase the Canelo Alvarez fairy tale?
You know what? I'm actually willing to wait and see to see if Jermall moves up, actually, because I really do believe that's going to happen and it's going to start a chain reaction out of all of this. If Charlo wins this weekend, I do think he moves up personally, because I don't think he wants to hang around because at this point, if Crawford's there for him, outside of Crawford, we get Tony Harrison 3. I mean, Erickson Lubin 2. I mean, I don't think Charlo wants these fights. So I think he moves up after if it's not Crawford.
Tim Zhu might be interesting from Australia, but we've talked last week on the podcast and we've done frequently on the podcast and writing this. He's going to have to come out of Australia. Jermell Charlo is not going to Australia to fight him. That would be interesting as a contender. Not as interesting as Crawford moving up, if that is the case. One more for Abe before he departs as we roll along on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. This, I mean, I know it's the junior middleweight division, but I mean, we have great affection, Marquise and I, for Winky Wright. Winky Wright had all of the belts back in the day in the junior middleweight division. When you look at the likes of Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, that have been junior middleweight world champion, you know, maybe weren't undisputed champion, but then you go all the way back to fighters like Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, and Thomas Hearns that were all junior middleweight world champions. If Jermell can get this win, that is some elite company to be mentioned with, especially as an undisputed 154-pound champion in terms of legacy, right, Abraham?
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. And you know what? As Birdman once said, you have to put some respect on his name, and that's what it came. You know, this guy would have earned everyone's respect in the sense of top 10 pound for pound, all of those things. You have to give it to him. He's going to demand it. You have to give it to him if he does that.
All right. So we'll see if that is the case. Abe, go ahead and plug away for NewYorkFights.com, what you are working on, what you are up to. We always love your insight. Tell the fans more about what they can read about you and what else you got going on.
Yes. So I recently did a couple of pieces. I did one on Coach Joe Higgins that is now training the Marine Corps amateur boxing team in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, where I'm stationed at. Nice. So that one is out there. I did one on a check-in on Michael Kofi for the 4th of July. He's got a big fight coming up against the Navy
Gerald
vet,
Washington.
Earl Washington.
Gerald Washington, yep.
And then I have a call with Jose Uzcategui here in about 20 minutes. So I'm going to do a feature with him and kind of see how that's going. But I wanted to drop one real quick on you guys.
Yes.
All right. You know, we're just kind of going here, but the Teofimo situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I know that this wasn't one of the topics that we discussed, but I feel like there's something there.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that the Teofimo fight with Kambosos happens at all. This was something that I kind of already had a feeling that it's not going to happen at all. We're going to get Lopez Loma next. We're going to get that. But keep in mind the dark horse in this whole situation. And that's Ryan Garcia. Because if Kambosos doesn't fight Teofimo Lopez and Oscar De La Hoya has those Golden Boy dates on Triller that he has contracted, look for Ryan versus Kambosos for the vacant IBF title.
This man is calling his shot right here. I like that. We put this out there through social media, didn't really write about it, and I don't know that I actually talked about it on the podcast, but if you're Triller and the Triller app and the Triller Fight Club, and you have drastically overpaid, which we now know, for the Teofimo Lopez-George Kambosos fight by more than double what anybody else offered, and further, the fight has now been delayed a couple of times, including the most recent time, because Teofimo Lopez, not unlike Tyson Fury, the undisputed lightweight champion, doesn't take precautions, isn't vaccinated, doesn't have vaccination people around him, or at least COVID testing around him, and you get the fight postponed. If you're Triller and you want out of the fight, and Marquise is smiling because he knows where this is going, and you want out of the fight, and you don't want to have to pay Teofimo Lopez or Kambosos, and you want the contract to be off, what might you do? You might suggest, okay, Teofimo, you got to come to Australia, speaking of come to Australia, to fight Kambosos because we say so and we're paying you the $3.5 million. And then we wait for like Hulk Hogan hand of the year, because I know it's an audio podcast, the Hulkster hand of the year. Oh, wait a minute. What is that? You don't want to come to Australia? Okay, wipe the hands. Now we don't have to pay you $3.5 million, and we can do something else with someone else with that money. I'm just sliding that out there, that it was a rather obvious public chess move by Triller here. How do we get out of this? How do we get extracted out of this situation? We make Teofimo Lopez quit and give up the quest to get the money from us now that the fight's postponed by saying, hey, you got to come to Australia to have the fight. Abe, you buying my conspiracy theory?
Oh, I'm giving you one better. I know somebody that lives in Australia. And they are already passing over there that they're looking to do another lockdown in Australia.
Ooh. Well, right. We've seen that in the last couple of weeks. So theoretically, you couldn't have this with people from the United States, et cetera, trying to come in, because by lockdown, you would mean if they come in, they're going into a 10-day, 14-day automatic quarantine where you stay in a hotel room. You're not training somewhere else. And who's going to do that in the boxing world and in a training camp?
No.
Yeah, who's doing that? So stay tuned. Again, Abe's prediction is it ends up Ryan Garcia fighting Kambosos. But of course, Marquise, we know this. Everybody wants a Ryan Garcia fight, and Ryan Garcia wants a fight with Tank Davis and wants a fight with Manny Pacquiao. Everybody's chasing that golden goose right now, Garcia.
You know what they are, TJ, but it's one of those things that makes a lot more sense if you figure out since Ryan Garcia, you know, with his mental illness or whatever reason, he got out of that Javier Fortuna fight, needs a fight now. I mean, he's going to sit and ram about Tank Davis to the heavens. That fight's not happening this year. So why not Kambosos for this random IBF belt? I mean, guys, at the end of the day, we're talking about an IBF mandatory here. I mean, these belts are found in garbage cans all over the place. I mean, I have not heard one thing about Kid Galahad and Jazzy Dickens 2 that's supposed to take place at the end of the month. And that's just waiting for the taking, as you all know. So sure. I'm looking forward to seeing that play out. It actually makes a lot more sense. I'm thinking at
scale,
the end of the day.
All right, wait a minute. Scale of 1 to 10. Lopez, Kambosos, 10 it absolutely happens, 1 no shot that it happens. Marquise, your number?
I'm going with 2 at this point, because I think Lopez Loma happens at this point.
And Abe sounds like he might be a 2 or a 3 or a 1. What are you?
I'm at a 2. We get Lopez Loma at the Madison Square Garden before anything.
How about that? Yeah. All right. And again, this man writing all about it, NewYorkFights.com. Follow him, AbeG718 on Twitter, for Abe Gonzalez, Abraham Gonzalez. Thank you for hanging with us on the Big Fight Weekend podcast, mixing it up as we've talked about all things Fury, Wilder, the Jermell Charlo, Brian Castaño fight this weekend, even a little lightweight picture and what might happen there. Abe, thank you. We appreciate you hanging with us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me again.
There he goes. We thank Abe Gonzalez one more time for being with us. We've got more on the way about the Charlo Castaño undisputed junior middleweight world championship fight in San Antonio still to come. Marquise Johns is going to hang with me. We'll even go over the gambling odds and much more as we roll on. But first, we're brought to you by our friends at WynnBET, bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, sports, and games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today. You'll receive a special offer for up to $500 risk-free on a sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. And download the app today. Again, that's WYNNBet.com. And we're brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on the NBA championship and the Stanley Cup futures when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. If you see a ticket you like but think the price is too high, submit a bid for the price that you think is fair and then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time with one click of the button, and PropSwap gives you a suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket should be worth. Last week, a PropSwap customer sold a $500 40-1 Phoenix Suns championship ticket for $16,000 after the Suns went up 2-0 in the finals. That's a 30 times return for the seller and adjusted odds of minus 400 for the buyer when every sports book in the country has the Suns at least minus 500 to win the series at that point. That's how it works. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Kind of think of it like the stock market, but for sports betting. Use our promo code SGP and your first deposit is for up to $500 in bonus cash. $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. That's PropSwap. And a reminder, the SGPN app is right there live now in the App Store and the Google Play Store. This app gives you easy access to all of our picks, all of our podcasts, everything in the content from the SGPN family of shows and everything that's going on the app. Don't forget, give us an app review. Download the SGPN app today in the App Store and the Google Play Store. Look for us. It's the SGPN app.
We're back on Big Fight Weekend. Now, here's your host, TJ Reeves.
Indeed, we are back in once more here on the only stop you need in terms of boxing for whatever is going on, not just in the U.S. I mean, we should make mention that we recap, preview, talk about whatever's going on in the U.K. Or in Europe, whatever's going on in Australia, the Far East, not just in the U.S. We write about it on BigFightWeekend.com, and we talk as much as we can, including in the historical perspective, about it here on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. Marquise John, senior writer, Big Fight Weekend podcast, back in with me here. We love the insight of Abe Gonzalez, and check out all of his work again at NewYorkFights.com, NYFights.com. And there are fights coming back to New York, really, for the first time since the COVID-19 shutdown, the subsequent pandemic, and not being able to have fans last fall, this winter. They're all going to bring some fights back into the New York market over the course of the next few weeks, few months. So that's good to ramp things back up in what has traditionally been one of the iconic places, not just the Garden, but in New York, New York City, surrounding in the New York City area, Atlantic City, et cetera. It has not been the same to not have the Northeast, the NYC involved, Marquise. I know you share that with me.
Absolutely, TJ. And thankfully, Frank Kersey, the fine folks at Triller, they're having this their versus series kick off at the Hulu portion of the Madison Square Garden next month in August. And I was skeptical at first, TJ, thinking, okay, another Triller fight announcement. Yeah, sure, whatever. But they have as part of it the rap battle for versus of the Lox versus Dipset. And I am all in for that. And so is the rest of New York City. Because TJ, let's be honest, TJ, Michael Hunter versus Mike White Delight Johnson. Mike White, yuck. But this rap battle, right, it's already sold out the Hulu theater, by the way, TJ.
Well, so let's get back to what we were talking about with Abe Gonzalez, and I promise we'll get back into Charlo Castaño, which is the biggest fight, undisputed junior middleweight world championship fight, Showtime PBC Saturday night, San Antonio, Texas. We'll get to that in short order again. We were already talking about it some with Abe Gonzalez, but when he was mentioning about Lopez, Kambosos, and the whole thing, this has become a soap opera and has sidetracked what Triller wanted to do with music and that fight. They had to cancel everything because Lopez got COVID-19. They don't know when they can put it back in. Again, in the case of Oscar De La Hoya, De La Hoya is going to fight allegedly on September the 14th in Las Vegas. There had been talk they would put the Lopez-Kambosos fight on that card together for the big interest with the music, And apparently that's not going to happen either for the Lopez fight. But the music component, along with the De La Hoya exhibition with the former MMA star, Vitor Belfort is his name, a former light heavyweight champion in UFC. Mm-hmm. That is what Triller's selling card is. That's why this whole thing about go to Australia for Lopez Kambosos, I'm just seeing right through that. That is a tactical, big-time chess move, aggressive move on, we're trying to get out of this fight completely. And we know that Teofimo will balk, will vacate the title and won't have the fight, and then we don't have to pay him. I'm coming back to that.
Absolutely, TJ. And that's pretty much boxing strategy 101. And I want to piggyback off that as well. Lopez's attorney I think Coppinger tweeted this at some point during the day. So it's got to be half true, right? One of the things is that his attorney filed a letter for default in regards to the payments of all of this. So once you bounce the payments, TJ, the fight bounces as well. So this is all but gone, to be honest with you.
And again, if you're Triller, why are we advancing people money before the fight? And I don't know what the contract says, but why are we advancing people money before the fight that hasn't happened yet? Then you get into the whole non-refundable thing. While we digress for a second, that's the Manny Pacquiao lawsuit with Paradigm Sports in LA, who says, hey, we gave you $3+ million to make a fight with us that we wanted with Mikey Garcia or whomever. And so now there's a whole dispute on, does he have to refund the $3 million back? Was the $3 million just a gift? Was it a down payment? Was it an advance? What was it? So you got to be careful on paying people in advance on this in the boxing world. All right. So enough about all of that and the soap opera and the shenanigans from that. Again, I'm interested too in all else that's going on, including in and around this Charlo Castaño showdown that's going to be happening. PBC, Showtime. Again, the Charlos are from Houston. This is in nearby San Antonio, about 90 minutes away. Obviously, Jermall Charlo won last month in June in his WBC middleweight championship defense in the hometown in Houston. All right, so the first thing I'm interested in is, what have the ticket sales been like? Will there be a big atmosphere in the home of the San Antonio Spurs? Does the Charlo bandwagon travel to the Alamo City or not here? Will there be 5,000? Will there be 10,000 there for Charlo and Castaño? We're interested to find all of this out, Marquise, Saturday night.
Absolutely, TJ. The one saving grace about all of this is that they're having these fights back in San Antonio. And at this point, TJ, especially with some of these PBC and Showtime cards, they've been pretty much regulars there at the Alamo Dome or whatever it's called this weekend. Right. For the most part, they've had the Davis fight last with Santa Cruz there. They had a couple other fights as well during
Canelo's
the year.
Canelo's fight with Callum Smith was also at the Alamo Dome in September, to your point.
Yeah, so low key, TJ, San Antonio's became the fight mecca of Texas for better or for worse in this whole pandemic, and it's cool that they're having these fights in different locations. I know you mentioned later on that the Jake Paul Tyrone Woolley nonsense, but it's happening in Cleveland. But despite the main event being farcical, there's actual fighters on the actual undercard that we're looking out for, like Amanda Serrano and such. So I see the strategy at this point, TJ, is to bring back boxing in different places they haven't been in a while, and so far, it's working out, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to look out on Saturday night.
Hey, so before we get back into Charlo Castaño and the betting odds on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, since you mentioned it, Showtime did announce it will be a pay-per-view for Jake Paul and the former MMA star Tyron Woodley, who's a former welterweight champion. They met with the media this week. Cleveland, Ohio, the home of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to all the NBA arenas. Yeah, it's got a new name. It's what the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse now is what they call the downtown arena in Cleveland. Of course, Jake Paul from Ohio. We purposely do not mention he and his knucklehead brother very much on this podcast or on the website, because again, these guys to me have been pulling the scam, have been pulling the con for the longest time. Jake Paul is again out there saying that he needs a few more fights to fight Canelo Alvarez. He's not getting anywhere near Canelo Alvarez. No. Not now, not ever on this. So anyway, they did announce that. You mentioned Charles Conwell's on the undercard, Amanda Serrano. There will be some. Does it surprise you? I guess in the economic dynamic, they needed to be a pay-per-view where they're saying to Jake Paul in particular, if we get paid off the pay-per-view, you're going to get more money. And if not, you won't, as opposed to leaving it on regular showtime as a non-pay-per-view. What's your reaction?
I'm just confused, TJ, why this is actually a pay-per-view, just only from the showtime angle of it, because at this point, at TJ, especially with boxing at this point, towards the back end of this year, how many pay-per-views are they going to make these fights be behind? They mentioned before, at one point, I think we're on Big Fight Weekend, that Tank Davis wants to fight again. That's going to be on pay-per-view. Manny Pacquiao, Earl Spence, pay-per-view. Fury Wilder, pay-per-view. Lomachenko Lopez, part two, pay-per-view. Guys, I don't know what country these folks are living in, but this is too many pay-per-views. So
Joshua Usyk, if it ever happens, pay-per-view over in the UK and in the US on it will be on DAZN in the US.
Same thing with Canelo.
Well, you know, honestly, I still remember the contractual hang-up that Joshua's got one more fight that says Sky Sports and pay-per-view. And so it may end up on DAZN in the U.S., or it may have to be a pay-per-view offering. I guess it would be on DAZN in the U.S., but it would be pay-per-view in the U.K. And again, their pay-per-views are usually about half or a third in cost of what the U.S. ones are for right now for the British fight fans. But again, I mean, one of the things I was just struck by, and I promise we're getting back to Charlo Castaño in just a second in the odds, is that here again, Jake Paul is fighting a non-boxer, and he is significantly bigger than this guy.
Yes.
You saw them standing, for the stare down, and he is at least 2 or 3 inches, 3 or 4 inches taller, at least 20 or 30 pounds heavier for this. And he's 15 years younger. So to those that are saying, it's one thing for the Pauls to get what they've gotten. They've conned it to this point. But this, again, looks like a size mismatch here on purpose to kind of build him up. So it doesn't surprise me they're going the pay-per-view route, because I can understand what Steven Espinoza, Showtime, and their economic essential strategy is here, which is if this thing bombs, if this thing gets 50,000 pay-per-views because Jake Paul doesn't have the following that translates into buying it, then guess what, Jake? You're not making a guaranteed 2 mil, 3 mil, 4 mil. You're going to get a percentage of whatever we take in. And if you don't do your part, I totally understand that, Marquise, one more time.
Absolutely, TJ. And that's one of the things I'm trying to figure out with this whole strategy, where it's like they're putting everything behind this paywall. At some point, someone's going to stop paying for these fights, TJ.
Right.
Well, either be this fight or the next one. I also want to mention as well, there's also Canelo fight down the way that's going to be on pay-per-view from somebody somewhere as well.
Right.
So it's interesting how they're setting it all up. I like the idea that they're at least making it a hometown fight. Granted, it's like, and once again, TJ, as I say to you all the time, favorable opposition, because Tyrone Woolley looked like me against Jake Paul. And Jake Paul, I think, walks around at 185, 190. So it's not a good, but that fight, those fights are what they are. And if they can keep up that charade, I don't know how long people are going to keep paying for the charade, but here we are.
Very true. And I believe it will run its course. I believe it already has with Logan Paul. I don't think there's going to be audience there for a future pay-per-view. And this may be it for Jake Paul too, because even if he wins and nobody buys it, it's not going to be a pay-per-view audience for a guy until he is fighting legitimate boxers and doing well against them. There won't be a pay-per-view audience again, over and over and over again, for him to fight, former basketball players like Nate Robinson, former amateur wrestlers like Ben Askren. I mean, there's
YouTubers,
just not going to be the market
for
that. We don't think. All right. So back to what we suspect will be a highly entertaining fight. You're already on the record earlier in this podcast as saying Jermell Charlo stops or knocks out Brian Castaño. And I believe he is highly motivated to have a spectacular win. We don't have under over odds for the Sports Gambling Podcast at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We don't have an under over round for this. I could see this venturing into like a 9th round, a 10th round, and being a stoppage. But you believe he's going to get to Castaño much earlier, Marquise, Saturday night, San Antonio, Charlo?
I really do, TJ. And it's one of those things with Castaño where it's like he's a volume puncher, but it's not a volume puncher that has like that knockout power per se, where he didn't knock out Teixeira, but he threw like 2,000 punches at him. Him and Laura had a draw. They threw about 2,000 punches as well. I mean, he's a volume guy. It's great, But at the end of the day, TJ, it only takes one shot to get knocked out. And I just think Charlo just has that in him more than anything else. And he's kind of fighting, not the right Castaño off here, but it's one of those things where I think just when Charlo was as motivated as I've seen him in these press conferences and these media calls with this, where it's like, I just think the only enemy in this fight isn't Castaño in the ring. Once the bell rings, it's going to be Charlo. And I really just think that's just the way this is going to be at this. And it's fun, TJ, also as well with this fight as a whole, where truth be told, I'm glad we're getting this undisputed fight, TJ, but we wouldn't get this fight if it wasn't for Dennis Hogan, because had we not had Jaime Munguia questionably get by Dennis Hogan a while back, he would still probably be at 154, and I don't think we see any of this. So it's great that we're having this fight nonetheless.
All right, and again, in this case for Castaño, 17-0-1, the draw came with Arislandi Lara, as you mentioned, back in March of 2019. Mm-hmm. He has since won twice after that, beating Wale Omotoso, if I got the name right, by stoppage. And then he beat Patrick Teixeira, upset Teixeira, and took the WBO World Championship back in February of this year. Puts him in front of Jermell Charlo, who's 34-1 with big knockout power. I know we talked about this before, about his brother Jermall Charlo moving up to 160 as he has. And yes, he is winning fights, but the knockout power hasn't really translated. But with Jermell Charlo, it has still been there that he's been scoring stoppages. You mentioned earlier in the podcast, the stoppage of Jason Rosario in the unified title fight in July in September of last year.
Yeah.
That was a body shot KO. Fight before that, he stopped Tony Harrison in the rematch. Fight before that, he knocked out Jorge Cota. In the non-title fight. So his power has continued to translate at 154. We'll see if that is the case. All right, again, on the gambling odds, Charlo minus 300 right now. Castaño plus 240. The Charlo knockout, by the way, is plus 200 for a knockout or a TKO win for Jermell Charlo. Are you interested in that for plus 200 there for Jermell to get the KO Saturday night?
From reality, TJ, the only money to really be made is if Charlo gets a knockout in this. If this goes to the decision, everyone goes home happy with $5. So I'm hoping for the knockout. That's just the way it goes with all of this.
All right, undercard, what are we looking for? Again, on Showtime earlier in the evening, the co-feature, Raleigh Romero, Anthony Yeguet, a lightweight showdown, a non-title lightweight showdown. Interest in that one from you?
I am, TJ. Sign up for KOs. Raleigh Romero went to this final press conference today, TJ, with the belt that he has for the his WBA interim trinket version of a belt that he has. He came into the Toronto press conference with it. That's the only guy. It's hilarious. I'm looking forward to that. I take the fires what they're worth, but he mentioned he's going for a first round knockout. I don't know if that's smart on his end to say that, but he said it nonetheless. Going to be kind of tough. Anthony Viggett, not the most of known opponents, but he is a southpaw, and most fights usually that involve southpaws are a little more tougher than one round. So,
and also on this card, a little earlier in the evening, it may or may not be part of the Showtime broadcast from PBC Saturday night in San Antonio. Amilcar Vidal, Emmanuel Alim, middleweights that will be fighting. And you're interested in Vidal in particular here to see how he looks. You're always interested in everybody, but you're particularly interested in how will Vidal look in this instance, right?
Absolutely, TJ. No, Vidal's the prospect. He's been on a few some of these showbox cards, TJ. They're finally promoting him to the championship television stage here, and he's going to open the show up against a guy who hasn't fought since the pandemic, TJ. So this all but sets up for a highlight reel knockout one way or another for Vidal if it's the same Vidal I saw in previous fights.
Well, and again, we've got different fight cards in different parts of the country, that are lesser. Some of them are now coming back in different places like Iowa, etc. We mentioned in the Northeast and Philadelphia too. This is the biggest card, the only championship fight card worthwhile anywhere in the country and really in the world this weekend is this fight card, Jermell Charlo. And one more for the legacy status, because again, we love Winky Wright, who defended the undisputed championship against the likes of Felix Trinidad, Sugar Shane Mosley. De La Hoya has been a junior middleweight world champ, not undisputed, but Floyd Mayweather's had it. You go back to Thomas Hearns and Ray Leonard having it, and Roberto Duran having a portion of the 154-pound title. there's some real legacy for Jermell Charlo and for Brian Castaño. He's a heavy underdog. There's some real legacy on the line here if you become four-belt world champion at 154.
Absolutely, TJ. And pretty much we mentioned last week how Charlo was talking about how he wanted to be part of this legacy and pretty much was trying to – he mentioned on the media calls going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's trying to get to that echelon. And obviously, TJ, with the names you just mentioned, that with the Four Kings and Mayweather at 154 being undisputed, if Charlo or Castaño wins there, they're going to be in that conversation without a question.
All right, we'll see if that is the case against San Antonio's AT&T Center. How big will the crowd be? What kind of atmosphere will they be rocking on some Charlo big punches early on in this fight? We will all find out together on that. For now, that about wraps it up. Our thanks to Abe Gonzalez, NewYorkFights.com, for being with us. Always love the insight of Marquise Johns. Follow him at Weak Sauce Radio on Twitter. And again, whether it's the preview mode, the recap mode, Marquise, we have it all right on the website on BigFightWeekend.com.
Absolutely, TJ. BigFightWeekend.com, your source for all boxing news, past, present, future. We'll keep an eye out this weekend on this this Showtime card out of San Antonio, thinking when we see some fireworks one way or another, TJ, there better be fireworks. This is the only game in town this weekend. So we'll see how that plays out. Also, if anything else that comes along the way, I'm still waiting for that big fight announcement, TJ, from Eddie Hearn. We got the one fight announcement of Warrington-Lara rematch, which has Katie Taylor on the undercard facing El Paso's own Jennifer Hahn, who hasn't fought in 2 years but is the IBF mandatory opponent for her. So, but we'll keep an eye on all that stuff, but maybe we'll get bigger fight announcements, TJ, from Eddie Hearn, hopefully next week.
We should make mention again while we wait for, the Wilder Fury is now delayed. We wait for Canelo's deal to get made for September, that we have now completed week six. Since we kept hearing, we will have an announcement next week on Joshua Usyk. And is everybody going to start coming on board with all of us that you really shouldn't listen to anything Eddie Hearn says, especially about the long-range future? Because obviously they don't have a deal with Usyk that he wants, or else they would have announced it by now. 6 weeks and counting, and it doesn't count and it doesn't matter that he keeps, and I keep saying it, he keeps saying September 25th, mate, September 25th. I say this every week on the podcast. He's saying that. Usyk's side is not saying that. The fight is not official for the venue, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. You can't go buy tickets. It's not official yet. And we believe, as we wrap up the podcast here, it's because of the rematch clauses, and Usyk is more concerned probably with what happens when I win over Joshua. What am I obligated to? What am I going to make? Where can we have that fight? They haven't agreed. There's no official announcement. They have not agreed to that fight. And meanwhile, Anthony Joshua continues to play video games and tweet about England in the Euro Cup soccer final with Italy and whatever else he's got going on while we wait for this. So
and of course, TJ eating up a very spicy food on hot ones on YouTube and all that fun stuff. It's ridiculous. But we will have an
announcement next week. Next week is week seven for Joshua Usyk to maybe happen or not. And Fury, again, we should make mention, Fury Wilder now set for October. Marquise believes in all likelihood it never happens. What a downer. They got to strip him. They got to strip him. If this starts to progress and that's what it looks like happens, then Tyson Fury has done it again after the Klitschko win back 5-6 years ago, where he went off the deep end and he lost all the belts because they just said, we got tired of waiting on you and you're stripped and you're gone and you're vacated. That's it. That's what you're going to have to do in this case. If he doesn't want to pony up and show up and be there for October, let him go fight whatever garbage fight. Let him go fight Anthony Joshua if they want to do that and fall, call it the undisputed championship.
Yeah.
Even though he's not the WBC champion any longer. I don't know. So in any event, we've done enough damage for now. We thank you for being with us. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Thank you to the Sports Gambling Podcast and Sean Green, Ryan Kramer, all of those guys with their network of shows, the sportsgamblingpodcast.com website, for helping promote us. Subscribe away. We'll see what happens with Charlo and Castaño. We're writing about it this weekend in the recap mode, especially when it's done. And we're back next week for another edition of the Big Fight Weekend Podcast. I'm TJ Reeves. Enjoy Charlo Castaño and read the website, BigFightWeekend.com. Bye.